This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will find out whether Kamala Harris's messaging and platform is resonating with the working class and union members. Working America, a political affiliate of the AFL-CIO, is knocking on doors in battleground states. We'll find out more about that and what Harris's closing message is to the working class. Also, on election night, it is in just 1 week. If you are free, we would love for you to join us for a live broadcast at 111 Minna in San Francisco. You can find information at kalw.org. Now we are going to talk about how the climate crisis is impacting congressional races. According to Inside Climate News, environmental groups say they are confident climate is a winning issue for Democrats in competitive races. They're pointing to research they commissioned this summer that shows 3/4 of voters, including 86% of swing voters, say climate change is at least a major problem, up 5 points from only a year ago. If only climate change were getting more attention in this election cycle. Joining us to talk about competitive House races in New York and California are two guests. Marianne Lavelle is an award-winning reporter with Inside Climate News, a Pulitzer Prize-winning nonpartisan media outlet reporting on the biggest crisis facing our planet. Hi, Marianne. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Hi, how are you?
Great to have you. Liza Gross is an award-winning journalist and investigative reporter with Inside Climate News. Hi, Liza. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Hi there. Thanks for having us.
Well, great to have both of you. I want to ask you a bigger question, given that the election is next Tuesday. Of course, climate change is one of the most important issues of our time. And you know, if Trump wins, scientists say, and this is just a fact, it's not an opinion, that it's game over for the climate. In April, he told a group of 20 oil and gas execs at Mar-a-Lago that they should give him $1 billion. In return, he's going to roll back environmental rules. Well, yesterday, The Guardian said they're not giving him $1 billion, but they have given him $14 million from the period up to August 31st. This is more than he got in 2016 and 2020. So, Marianne, you've done so much reporting on these issues. Can you just remind us what's at stake in this election when it comes to the climate crisis?
Yes, I think it's pretty simple. Trump or former President Trump doesn't really feel the climate change is a big crisis. And he is very devoted to increasing oil and gas drilling and extending a fossil fuel economy. Recently in Detroit, he said, "Vote for me and you'll have gasoline cars for a long, long time." And I think that he's been very clear, no matter how much money or how little money he's gotten from oil and gas, this has been his view for a long time. Vice President Harris would continue and extend the huge investment that we've made in a clean energy transition. It's only beginning. We have a long way to go, but certainly we're at a better place than we have been as far as addressing climate. And the question at stake in this election is, are we going to continue to take it seriously or not?
Right. Liza, what would you like to add?
I would just say that I've seen what former President Trump has done to the Environmental Protection Agency in his previous administration. And I saw that he was very interested in getting rid of career bureaucrats and scientists who are able to implement science-based policies related to climate and the environment in general. And instead, he replaced people who were science-based, even, you know, just across the spectrum, people who believed in science with people who are more industry friendly, basically servants of industry. And I have no reason to expect that things would be any different this time.
J.D. Vance and Trump also say that if they win on day one, they're going to drill, baby, drill. We talk about this regularly, but we're pretty shocked that the climate crisis is not getting more attention in this election cycle. I've watched so many of Vice President Harris's speeches, and at least the huge ones, at the huge ones, she really doesn't talk about climate change. She hasn't really said much about the IRA. I'm just curious why that's the case. Do you have any idea what's going on here? What are you hearing from activists and voters who care so deeply about these issues? Marianne, are you hearing anything about why Kamala Harris isn't spending more time on climate change? Or is she or is she just not at the big rallies?
We don't fully know why she is not kind of using the IRA as a big selling point for her administration. We don't know why she's not talking more about climate and clean energy. I think after the election, there's probably going to be a lot of reflection on the strategy that her campaign chose. But what I think is going on is they have made the assessment that the voters that are movable right now are the ones who are, you know, in the middle. You can see with her going around with Liz Cheney that she's trying to get Republicans who are disaffected with former President Trump. So I think she's being very cautious, especially like in states like Pennsylvania, where there's a huge natural gas business. There's also a lot of people who've been very negatively affected by the natural gas drilling in Pennsylvania. So I think it's yet to be seen whether it's a good strategy not to kind of just stay away from that issue. The one thing I will say, in Detroit and in Michigan, she has recently been talking about how she is dedicated to making sure that we have the next big breakthroughs in electric vehicles and in any energy breakthroughs here in the United States, and saying that she is dedicated to investing in that. So we're seeing a little bit of that, especially when she's traveling in Michigan, which is a state that really needs that kind of investment in renewing its manufacturing base from old energy to new energy.
Liza, anything to add there? And have you talked to any voters about this?
I would just say, I will preface it by saying that I have not spoken to a lot of voters about this. I've spoken to various experts who track the voters about this. And one thing that the Public Policy Institute of California's surveys have shown, and this is consistent with nationwide polling, is that the issues that people really care about are the economy, as James Carville famously said during the Clinton administration races, that it's the economy, stupid. And that's really what seems to be really salient for voters. They're worried about jobs. They're worried about the cost of groceries, which is a lot more tangible than something like climate change for many people. Although I believe that's changing, as you're seeing that more and more people cannot escape from, you know, climate disasters, as we just saw with the hurricanes, Helene and Milton. But I do think that, you know, this polling, I mean, people are just really stuck on economic issues, and climate in the PPIC polls surveys consistently is not at the top of the, even in the top five issues for voters.
Well, we're definitely going to talk more about this tomorrow, so we hope you can join us for that show. Today, we are joined by two great reporters with Inside Climate News, Marianne Lavelle and Liza Gross. We're now going to talk about their piece called In Competitive Purple Districts, Republican House Members Paint Themselves Green. Climate activists are calling out incumbents' poor environmental records in a coordinated drive to flip the House to Democratic control. You can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. So this is a great piece that you both wrote. It's about House members in California and New York. Democrats need 4 seats to gain control of the House. And again, the fact is, if Kamala Harris wins but loses, the Democrats lose the House or the Senate, it's going to be really hard to pass climate legislation. So this is a really important issue. I'll just read from the beginning of your piece. The Republican congressmen for New York's increasingly flood-prone lower Hudson Valley and Finger Lakes region, Representative Mark Molinaro, tells his constituents that urgent action is needed on climate change. In California's Sierra Nevada, scarred by recent wildfires unprecedented in recorded history, Republican Representative Kevin Kiley pitches himself as one of the state's biggest champions of clean energy. But the two freshman Republicans have voted reliably with the House Republican majority to undo efforts to cut greenhouse gas pollution and accelerate the transition to renewable power and electric vehicles, and they're strong supporters of Donald Trump. So, Marianne, tell us more about how Republicans are painting themselves as environmentally friendly and how activists are trying to call them out.
Yes, in a way, this kind of is, there's a good news story behind this alarming news story, and that is kind of the polling that you mentioned at the very top that the environmental groups have found. It really is not a winning issue for any politician to say, you know, I don't believe in climate change. You know, it's a hoax or anything like that. That really is not something voters of any stripe want to hear at this point when they've been pummeled by things like these hurricanes. And in these two districts on opposite sides of the country, in New York, severe flooding, in California, the wildfires, voters in both of those districts are just reeling from their insurance costs just skyrocketing, really changing life from being affordable. And the truth is, what's happening is because we haven't dealt with climate change as a nation, private homeowners, private businesses are bearing the costs. And that is happening in both of these districts. So even the Republicans in these districts, they put themselves out as, I hear you, I understand about climate change. However, what the environmental activists are doing is making sure that voters in those districts know that the voting records of those two Republican candidates and most other Republican candidates just do not line up with effective action on climate change. The House GOP majority has been very much united to try to block anything that Biden's doing and even go further rolling back greenhouse gas controls. And they certainly would do that if President Trump were elected. So that's why these House races, they're very local, but the issues that are being dealt with are national issues. And climate is definitely one of them.
In your piece, you quoted Michael Caceso, who's with NRDC. He said, these Republican members are addressing climate now because their constituents are asking them about it and are feeling the pain of the results of climate change. They're paying lip service to dealing with the everyday impacts while not actually addressing the root cause of it in a meaningful way. So given that these guys are claiming to be that they would, you know, vote for or at least claim to care about the climate crisis, and yet their records say otherwise, how are the voters responding to these these competing messages, I guess you can say, Liza?
Oh, you know, I am not sure how voters are responding. I do know that right at this moment, I do know that political experts are concerned that in places like the Central Valley, where there are two key districts that environmental activists are hoping to flip, obviously heavy agriculture, but also oil. These are heavily Latino districts. And what the Cook Report, a nonpartisan political onlooker analyst says is that Harris is losing support among Latino voters. And even though Latino voter and voter turnout in general are key to flipping these two districts in the Central Valley, there's concern that the loss of support among Latino voters may not actually go in Democrats' favors in this case. And especially because what they're finding is that people are really worried about jobs. They're worried about the economy, and they're worried about rising food prices and things of that nature. So that's a serious concern.
Mm. Well, again, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. You also wrote about what is happening in Southern California for the seat to replace Representative Katie Porter. She ran for Senate in California and lost in the primary to Representative Adam Schiff. And so Katie Porter, at least this time around, is not going to be in the House. And you write about the people who are running to replace her. Climate activists are excited about State Senator David Minn, a former law professor who chairs the Senate's Natural Resources and Water Committee, who once led an unsuccessful effort to ban oil and gas drilling off of California's coast. Liza, can you tell us more about a Senator David Minn?
Actually, I would defer to my colleague Marianne on this. Marianne reported that part of the story.
Okay, Marianne.
I can tell you a little bit about him. The thing that really stands out is he's not just a Democrat who is just we just want to get a Democrat to flip the House. This is a guy who has been chair of the Senate's Natural Resources Committee, and he actually led an effort to ban oil and gas drilling off California's coast. Now, that didn't succeed, but what did succeed is a law he sponsored to get kind of neighborhood scale decarbonization going. This is to accelerate households transitioning away from natural gas. And often that's hard to do unless you have a whole neighborhood doing it. It really makes it a more affordable is it. And so that's kind of it. He has the knowledge of these issues at that kind of granular level that environmentalists feel like having someone like him and some of these other candidates as well. They just have so much knowledge about the deep and tough issues on climate that it would just be a real benefit to have them in the House, where we have to get beyond debating whether climate change is happening, and we have to debate on the actual solutions. So that's why environmentalists are excited about him. Another candidate who I'd point out is Jessica Morse, who is running for the 3rd district. And I think Liza can explain how huge that district is better than I can. But Jessica Morse actually worked for both the state and defense departments. So she has this national security background, but she also was in Gavin Newsom's administration, and she spearheaded the wildfire resilience strategy for California. And so she has a lot of knowledge about wildfire, the real details and nitty gritty of how to cope with and reduce your risk to wildfire. And again, she would bring something really unique if she were elected to the House.
Liza?
Yeah, I'll just say, I just say something about that district. So it is enormous. It was redistricted in 2020, and then the midterms were the first time that people were elected there. And so it runs from Northern Sierra all the way to, you know, the Mojave Desert. And so what that means for her, though, is that she's had to be a little bit careful about how she talks about things like climate change. So people really respond to, you know, the fire disasters, which have actually, we've had disastrous fires all along that district, north and south. And so she talks about, you know, restoring the forests in a way that makes them more resilient as a way to sort of deal with climate without sort of saying climate crisis. And I just wanted to say one other thing about the distinction between one of the Republican candidates, Michelle Steele, who's in around the same area that Dave Min is. Min worked on that unsuccessful effort to ban oil and gas drilling off of California's coast. But Michelle Steele opposed that, saying basically what she thought we should do is just reduce the number of cargo ships that are out there, and that would be the way to deal with the oil spill problem.
We're almost out of time, and I'm sorry, we don't have time to take your call, Catherine. Catherine wanted to call in. She's volunteering for a climate action group in Oakland that is focusing on Senate races. I'm so sorry, Catherine. Maybe on election day, we're going to open the lines and just get listeners' thoughts about the election. So we'd love to hear about the work that you're all doing. But I wanted to end the show going back to just the lack of media coverage about these really important issues around the climate crisis. And thank you both for including this in your piece. I feel like this should be repeated in the media every day, given what's at stake here. I mean, scientists on our show say we have to act by 2030. And, you know, we're almost at the year 2025. So the next president and the Senate and the House is either going to take action on these issues or not. And as you report, the oil and gas industry spending this year has already hit a record $147 million, with 89% going to Republicans. So oil and gas has already spent a record $147 million, 89% going to Republicans, according to Open Secrets. I mean, this is such an important number, Marianne, to let voters know about. And we have about a minute left.
Yes, and it's actually more lopsided than it's ever been as well, as far as their support of Republicans over Democrats. I think, you know, we agree, both of us work for Inside Climate News. We exist to elevate this issue and to let people know its importance and that it is affecting people, whether or not we talk about it. It is affecting how people live, the costs, the risks that they face. And I think voters do understand that on some level, and it will be interesting to see how much it really plays in these very local House races.
Right. Liza, your final thoughts, about a minute left.
Sorry, yes. Yeah, I think that one of the things that struck me, we have, I think the previous segment was about Proposition 4, which is the climate resilience bond. I think that what voters need to understand is that one thing that was very clear by the authors of that legislation, which needs to be approved by the voters as a general obligation bond, is that $1 spent in building resilience against climate change is $6 saved. And so, in basically cleaning up after a disaster. And so if people are really worried about the economy, I think they need to sort of get to, you know, they need to understand that climate is very much an economic issue. And once a disaster hits you, I think that reality comes home pretty starkly.
Such a great point. Liza Gross and Marianne Lavelle are award-winning reporters with Inside Climate News. Thank you for your reporting. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.